You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Hello, welcome to Wavelength, bringing the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. I'm your host, Afnir Ting. Today on the show, I'll be joined by the guys from Kyoto Protocol. They have a brand new single out. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever. And we'll be catching up with Shan and Shaq from the band in just a bit. Do stick around for that. Before we get to the guys from Kyoto Protocol, I'm joined by British-Malaysian Lucinda Chua, who is a singer, songwriter, composer, producer, and multi-instrumentalist who's currently based in London. She is newly signed to one of my favorite record labels, 480 Records, and her latest EP is out now, called Antidotes 2. She's with me right now on the line to tell us more.
Waves upon the shore, help me stay afloat, help me stay afloat.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's an honor to have you on the show. You know, I was doing a bit of reading and somehow the thing that popped up the most was your background of learning how to play by ear using the Suzuki method. Yeah, I really wanted to know, how has that impacted how you make music, you know, now that you're older?
I think because the Suzuki method, you start really young. Like, I started piano lessons when I was 3 years old. And the philosophy is that you learn it around the same time that you learn it as you would a language. And so I think music for me has always been like a form of self-expression, rather than kind of reenacting the work of a composer. And I guess it just encouraged me to express my creativity, but also I think it taught me the discipline of knowing how to learn, how to like sit down at the piano and focus from very young age.
Yeah. I also understand that you are classically trained, but how does that help in it's kind of a bit like counterintuitive for improv work, you know, some people would say, but you exist in both worlds, improvising and also the more classical stuff.
Well, I guess I'm not really classically trained because I never went to like a conservatoire or a music academy, and I really struggled with reading sheet music. And I think that's why like learning to play by ear was such a good fit for me. And so I think skills like improvising and communicating through the music was a way that just felt really comfortable for me, rather than doing a lot of exams or struggling to fit within the more classical world.
Mm-mm. When do you realize that it was more fun to, you know, improvise and let your creativity run wild compared to, you know, trying to recreate the work of somebody that has passed away, you know, hundreds of years ago?
I remember when I was really, really little, probably like 5, I would do these improvisations on the piano and my little sister would hide underneath a blanket, and we had this lamp that had a dimmer switch, and she would do like a little light show. And so we'd do these like performances at home. It would be me and my sister doing the lights, and I would just be like going crazy on the piano, making all these crazy songs up.
Yeah, I guess in a way it's quite freeing.
Yeah, and then I think as I got older maybe, and I felt like I had more that I wanted to say, it developed into more of a songwriting practice. And I realised that music was this language that I'd had from such a young age, but that I could, I don't know, use it to communicate like what I was feeling or process what I was going through in the world. And that was like probably as a teenager, like this really nice moment of music kind of being this blanket that could cover everything.
And I think that really works very well for the style of music that you've been putting out. You know, it's a bit ambient, it's a bit minimal, atmospheric as well. What got you into that kind of music?
I think as a listener, I really like the kind of calm quietness of ambient music and how it can make you feel, you know? And I think as a person, I'm not like the person who is very loud in the center of the room, you know. A lot of the time I'm like listening, and I like the space in the music because I think when you're listening to it, it gives you room for you to imagine yourself inside it. So I think maybe that's what drew me to ambient music, is that it feels like a place that you can live inside. you know, with all of this kind of textures, it feels more like a world. And so I guess applying that philosophy to thinking about songwriting, and I love pop music as well, and kind of finding like this nice in-between space of the two.
Mm-mm. I've seen your live performances and I always look at the floor because I'm a guitar pedals kind of guy, and I notice you got a bunch of effects as well. When do you discover that you could use effects on the cello? I mean, you got loopers, pitch shifting whammies and all that, and it really defines your current sound.
I think that was probably the biggest change for me, was realizing that sound could be an instrument in itself. Because I guess like playing piano and playing cello, I always assumed that that was the only sound you could have, but it was definitely working with FKA Twigs, who makes predominantly like avant-garde electronic pop music, and learning more about her production and trying out playing the cello through effects pedals. It opened me up into an entirely new world, and it made me realize that I could use the cello as an interface, but it could make any sound that I wanted it to make. It didn't have to sound like a cello.
How different was the workflow like for say Antidotes 1 versus Antidotes 2? Was it pretty much the same equipment?
Ooh, I guess normally I sit down to write at the piano. With Antidotes 1, I think I was working more in the session in Ableton, whereas for Antidotes 2, I wanted to do something a bit more stripped back and a bit more simple, and so I recorded, or I came up with the song structures before I started recording anything, and I gigged it a lot more because I was playing live a lot, and so I really wanted to make sure that the songs could exist as like a skeleton version of themselves if it was just me singing and playing at the piano, and then added the production, you know, like the colors and the textures, and added the strings, but I wanted to feel like there was a really something kind of tangible underneath.
Mm-mm. How different are your live versions compared to your studio versions of your songs?
Pretty different. when I play live, it's just me with the cello because I love the freedom of not being like locked into a grid or a time. It can just be very free and improvised and spontaneous in places. So I guess it's more like a way of interpreting the record and the songs, but creating something that feels special and in the moment, and that is as much a collaboration between me and the people in the room as it is me reenacting something that I've done before. Because I think if you love a record, you can just sit at home and listen to it, but I think when you go and see a live show, you want to feel closer to the artist maybe, or feel part of something, and so that's what I try and do with my live shows.
And each live show will be a different, unique experience for the fan.
Yeah, and for me too, you know? I think it's nice to keep it special, because then it's like everyone who's in that room witnessing that moment is also part of it. And all of the, you know, when you fill the room with all of these layers of sound and there's all these kind of like harmonies and frequencies resonating, the room becomes an instrument in itself, and all the bodies inside the room become the instrument, because depending on how people move or how they configure, you know, it changes the frequency of the sound. So it's like, I'm not playing the cello anymore. I'm playing the room, and everyone else is involved in that too. And that's really exciting for me. Feels much more collaborative.
Do you have a favorite kind of room that you enjoy playing in?
I love anywhere that has a good reverb.
A good natural reverb.
A good natural reverb, yeah.
What about big festivals that are a bit open air?
With the set that I've got at the moment, I think open air, sometimes the cello can evaporate into the sky. It needs a bit of a body to contain it. But for the future, I'm super interested to explore different sounds and different ways of performing live, so I can play at kind of bigger festivals outdoors. That would be fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me on the show, and can't wait to hear what's next for your music career.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I've been speaking to Lucinda Chua. Her brand new EP, Antidotes 2, is out right now on all streaming platforms. Right after this, I'm having a chat with Shan and Shaq. They're from the band Kyoto Protocol, who just dropped their latest single called Nothing Lasts Forever. But before that, here's a track taken from Antidotes 2 by Lucinda Chua. Here's an ambient pop number called Until I Fall, right here on Wavelength, bringing the best sounds from the Asian region with me, Ofnir Ting, on BFM 89.9.
What is more beautiful than night? bluer than the sky. Higher to climb, higher and higher, till I fall.
Welcome back to Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. I'm your host, Ofnir Ting. Right now, I'm speaking to Shan and Shaq from the band Kyoto Protocol. They have a new single out. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever. It's the first single since the release of the Rockumentary 10, celebrating a decade in the scene. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey man, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing this interview from the office, which... You know what? I kind of miss the office.
Definitely, man. I mean, we miss playing on stage as well and being in the studio with the rest of the guys. So yeah, we definitely know how it feels.
I mean, watching the documentary, I'm sure you guys feel very nostalgic being on stage.
And of course.
We've had some buffer since that docu came out, but the music video is a proper nostalgia trip, lah. If you check it out right now, you'll see why. It's on our YouTube page, youtube.com/KyotoBand. So even prior to this interview, right, I kind of just had to snap into it. It's like, oh, yes, actually, this is the thing and we're doing it. And it was really exciting. So thank you, BFM. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys, for joining me on the show. And I'm also going to make an assumption that the recording process for this new track was pretty different from the making of The Pen Is Mightier. Not by choice, I'm sure. But before I hit record, we were talking about that new studio that you guys are... Well, not really a studio, but more of a Kyoto Protocol HQ. Okay, can you share with me more about that?
So it's more of a workspace, you know, where we are able to jam, you know, and we have a very basic setup, but it's enough to do what we need to do. I mean, it's not a full-fledged studio with a lot of gear or anything like that. It's sort of very catered to what we need as a band and what we may need if we wanted to try something new. But we also, it's very comfortable. It's set up for us. Sean did a great job of organizing the space, you know, and getting it to a point where we are actually comfortable being there for long periods of time, either to work or to, it's always work, but either to work on something specific or just work on an idea. And one thing that's nice is that it's always set up for our usage. Mm. That's the main thing. So we can come together really quickly. It's just purely, it's about scheduling rather than scheduling amongst ourselves rather than scheduling with a location. So yeah, it's worked out very well for us, and we're really enjoying the space. Yeah,
like literally all the equipment is from home lah. Everybody's mm-hmm. sendiri bawa from home, but now we have a place to store it. We have a dedicated room where we mic all the amps. We've tried to isolate the drum set as best as possible. Mm-hmm. You might still hear it from the streets a little bit, but you know, we operate at, you know, clever hours so we don't annoy our neighbors. Mm-mm. And we are okay lah. So it's not Abbey Roads lah, okay? But
it's a process.
It's enough for now lah. Yes, maybe.
Okay, you know, these days, right, with modern acts, it's like they don't do demos anymore because it feels like an ever-evolving file where you tweak here and there. It's like demos don't exist anymore because you can always tweak your initial demo in the DAW and that becomes the final product. So do you guys still do demos or is it always just evolving?
Okay, how other people work and what works for them is up to them, right? Some people prefer just to have one file where it's just continuous. How we approach ourselves for our stuff is usually if we would have an idea, send it to all of us. We all have a chance to listen to it and either make a mental note of what we want to try when we meet up or some ideas to discuss. But I guess you could say that would be the first origination of a demo track. Now, what quality or how full that demo track is a massive difference. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just one guitar line, just a riff. Sometimes it's a riff with some singing. Sometimes it's a full-fledged, you know, 4 or 5 piece demo. But usually that would be the first origination of a demo. Then when it gets passed around, I like to do a lot of work on it from home, just trying different things and sharing those ideas back. So that would be almost considered like a second part of a demo. Mm-hmm. You know, you had your first one, your second one. And then when we actually come time to do proper demos in the studio, and that is to make sure that whatever we are doing in the studio can also be replicated live with ease. And that would be sort of like the third stage of the demoing, where we're actually listening to ourselves perform it together as a group and sort of identifying like, hey, does it sound good? Would this sound good live? That's a very simple, basic demo that sounds like how it would sound on a stage. And then obviously the last part would be actually tracking the song for the recording purposes. You know, this is what works for us at this point in time.
This is quite an organic process, except where we are right now with our take on things, it's a bit more efficient and it's a bit more clinical. Previously, if you notice any band, right, for that matter, by the time they are playing a song live for the fifth year around or whatever, it would have evolved quite a bit. Unless you draw a line in the sand, you will continuously work on a song.
Yeah.
So how it used to be for us is pretty similar, except no high-tech recording of the jamming itself in the studio. I used to whip out my phone and have something going just to memorize my parts. So you can see it's quite rudimentary. And then we would play the song at shows quite a bit for it to develop naturally, organically, which parts we felt that the crowd would groove to better or dance better. And then you go back and then you record and then you start tracking the song. But even then, right, there are times after the recording is done, you wish you could have done things slightly differently.
Yeah.
So if you imagine this entire process, you put it into one timeline. Now we're able to do it more efficiently in the studio. So instead of like sleeping on it or waiting for a show to happen, you get to take home these demo bits and ponder, reflect, sleep on it, and then come back and make the change. I tell you, it's been a game changer. Just to like, hey, you know, you have no idea with Nothing Lasts Forever how many times we change the pitch. So imagine how would that have been with like a MP3 recording in your phone. Cannot do, ma.
Yeah.
But now we're able to tweak it and then, you know, then have a go at the vocals. Oh, this just feels more comfortable. So on and so forth. This sounds better at this tempo or whatever. So to me, it just really feels like we're living in a golden age.
But for Nothing Lasts Forever, right, the band didn't have the opportunity to like test it on the road.
So, yes, yeah. That's something that we do miss. That is something I feel like, with other songs, we have actually been able to play live at least once or maybe even a couple of times just to see reactions and see how we feel performing it, you know. But this was one of the first few times that we have actually put out a song without having played it live first anywhere.
Yeah.
Are you guys nervous about that?
Yes and no. I think it's nervous, right. Sure, but it's something different for us. So I am, and I know the rest of the guys are always keen on trying new experiences or new ways of doing things. You know, just because you've done it like that forever doesn't mean that's the only way to do it, right?
Nothing lasts forever.
Correct. So you always want to keep on trying new ways and exploring new ways.
Kyoto Protocol as a band, you guys have been staying true to your rock DNA, which is actually pretty rare, I guess, for bands these days, because there are two schools of thought, right? On one hand, you have the band that stays true to their sound for 5 albums, and on the other hand, you have a band that has gone through 5 different genres, you know, hip-hop, R&B, rock, everything in 5 albums. What are your thoughts on that?
For us, I think people have tried to, let's say, label us into a genre. Right? And 9 times out of 10, yes, rock has been something that we fall under that category quite often. But I think the difference is we're not trying to stay true to a genre per se, or to be able to fit within that genre. We're just trying to stay true to ourselves and our current conditions, whatever they may be, or whatever we're into, you know. As long as we are passionate and whatever about that song, as a group, we enjoy it, we are proud of it, then
that's all that matters.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's all that matters, you know. So that's not to say that we may not want to put out a hip-hop album one day. I mean, it may happen, you know, give it time, anything is possible. And that's what we enjoy, you know, is that we're not confined to anything. We just, we do what we feel at that point in time is right. And that's it.
And not to use the word confined negatively, but
correct.
We are confined to our instruments. I suppose that's been a constant. But actually, if you scour through our demography, right? Or discography, rather, sorry. There have been various elements, like Jalita, for example. That's very retro. That's very disco, actually. I mentioned slightly earlier on that we come from different places. We bring forth our own influences as well. And it may not be very apparent because it's still 2 guitars, bass, drums, and keys, right? That might be the equation, but actually the makeup of the songs are quite a variety, in my opinion.
Do you see yourself trading your drum set for, let's say, an 808 at the side of the stage?
Man, you have no idea. This is like a constant thing with all of us. I appreciate it. Like, my bandmates want to explore certain things with using drum pads, for example. And actually, if you a bit closer attention to 10, the rockumentary, there were bits in there that used electronic pads. Mm. And I was really happy with that, because ultimately what you want is what suits the song. So yes, I will definitely not rule that out. In fact, I have an electronic kit at home, which I think I want to try and assemble in the studio as well. I think Shaq's been wanting to do that for a while. So
maybe we'll a bass synthesizer.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think we're always looking for different ways to experiment or try new things, you know. TPIM, the band is Mightier, was the first time that I think we had a bit of strings in the songs. So it was nice to just give it a shot, you know, just try anything that goes. And if it doesn't work, okay, we move and, you know, try again until we get what we like. And sometimes you go too far and you come back to pretty much the stripped version, which was like the original demo that, you know, we did in the studio, and say, yeah, actually, no, this sounds the best. And sometimes when you push yourself a little bit, you know, shoot for the stars, land on the moon, right?
Shaq's completely playing it down, because we all in the band know that if it was up to him, we would have an orchestra by our sides every single show. But I think he put it very well. What was it? Aim for the stars?
Land on the moon.
Yeah, okay. Which is scientifically inaccurate, but catch my drift, right? So yeah, you know, it is very exciting. And I think on a couple of occasions, we had somebody who played sax with us on stage. Man, the energy is just different now. I suppose we can look forward to more of that.
So I know there's no new album per se on the horizon yet, but what can fans look forward to? Maybe more singles?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're definitely looking at releasing a couple more singles within the next, I guess, you know, 6, 12, 18 months. We'll see what the current situation is with the pandemic worldwide and within Malaysia, and see how best to keep doing what we enjoy doing. We definitely do miss playing on stage, and we do miss playing for the fans, and we do miss being in the studio as a group, because sometimes just somehow being together, jamming or rehearsing, brings out some of the best moments, you know, the band can have. So once we get back to that more consistently, hopefully, you know, we'll have a more steady stream, and we'll be able to see some fruits from that labor. But yeah, we're looking at trying to release something else before the end of the year, and then something maybe quarter two next year. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it just comes down to the situation we're facing. That's all.
In the meantime, I would tell everybody to look out for us at a show nearby, like, because I think people would be jonesing for shows by now, you know, right? So I know personally, I'm really looking forward to that. So I think if we could feature a new single every so often in between shows, that would be really nice. And again, sorry to keep harping on this, but having worked on the music video, I can't wait to hit the road again. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. And you won't believe it, man, there are Malaysians all over the country. Like, we've always had such a warm reception. I can't put a price on it. I truly, truly appreciate that experience. So that, together with the couple of singles that are coming your way, I think we can package and put a ribbon around it.
Do check out the latest music video by Kyoto Protocol. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever. Also out on all streaming platforms. Thanks so much, guys, for joining me on the show. It's been a great chat.
Yay!
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate you having us. And to keep updated with any of our stuff that's happening, I mean, you can always just go simply said kyotoband.com. You can get to our YouTube page, our Instagram, our Facebook, and keep in touch with us from there. We'll post anything, any new shows that we have coming up there. You can also check out the new music video on that website. So, yeah, thanks for having us, and thanks for having this conversation about the new single with us.
Here's the latest single from Kyoto Protocol. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever. Do check out that music video, which is out now on YouTube. More tunes coming your way. But in the meantime, the new one from Kyoto Protocol, Nothing Lasts Forever, right here on Wavelength BFM 89.9.
Nothing lasts forever.
try to help the helpless, we defend. Cause nothing lasts forever, the finale impends. Our favorite tunes were ageless, the past tense. Just stop listening, what of you? Are you listening?
just heard Jakarta by Ramayan. This is taken from their latest album, The Persiaran Cakrawala. Lovely stuff. Got a couple more tracks to play for you before I say goodbye and head out of here. Up next is a brand new one from Filipino musician. He's normally a purveyor of lo-fi, but in this next track, I must say it's the most hi-fi I've ever heard iDress sound. So check it out. iDress featuring Dent May with a brand new track called Something About You.
In the car, cause I'm around, it's you and my baby. You know that I got you. With the road, I'm taking off with you. Not in a hurry, there's something about you. Leave the car at the valet. Cash only. Check me in, pop the champagne. Don't wear your. Pour me a glass. She's got good taste. So good.
Malaysian indie pop duo Mint Cherry. That was the track Stay. Hope you've really enjoyed today's episode. Big thanks once again to Lucinda Chua and Kyoto Protocol for joining me on the show this week. As usual, if you'd like to revisit any parts of this episode and listen to our previous episodes, you can do so by heading to our website www.bfm.my and search for Wavelength. To get in touch, we are at BFM Radio on Twitter and Instagram. Closing off with a track taken from the EP called Tangerine. It's another duo, Luna Dira and Radio Rocket. With Am I Gonna Die, you've been listening to Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds and stories from the Asian region with me, Off Neo Ting. Take care and stay safe. BFM 89.9.
I could have sworn I had my stitch together. You when my days just got better, tripped on rocks I couldn't see, and now I'm just weak in the knees. You should have walked away from me.
You have these eyes that make me want to shelter. You from those other guys that make you want to hide away from endlessly loving someone such as me. I'll give you everything you need.
You're just overthinking and that's fine.
Am I gonna cry?
Well, that's the only way to know if it's worth it. And you are worth my time.
Won't say I'll try, but I got one thing on my mind. Cause I don't really want to kind of feel the pressure exposing me. Tell me how I'm gonna do this thing with you. You gotta give me what I need.
Can count on me.
I think that you should find another.
Oh, I know.
To make things easier for you.
That you need time to grow.
Don't think that you should even bother. Cause I'm not meant to live for two. Am I gonna die?
No, you're just overthinking and that's fine.
Am I gonna cry?
Well, that's the only way to know if it's worth it, and you are worth my time.
Won't say I'll try, but I got one thing on my mind. Cause I don't really want to kind of feel the pressure exposing me. Tell me how I'm gonna do this thing with you. You gotta give me what I need and make this easy for me.
Won't you count on me? You can count on me.